This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmann Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Tuesday means that we do fantasy football with Michael Fabiano in about 20 minutes. We put the mailbag out yesterday over on our Sports360AZ Twitter handle, at Sports360AZ on Twitter. If you do not follow us over there, do it. All right? The mailbag is full of questions, a lot of PPR questions, for Michael Fabiano, who joins us right from the set at the NFL Network. Always good to have Michael on the show. That will come up at 10:35. So I'm trying to calm myself down here a little bit over something that's developing around the Arizona Cardinals. There are times where you have to have breaks. You have to have breaks in order to have a good season. You just do, unless you're the New England Patriots. It doesn't matter how many bits of adversity they throw. They're always seemingly in the race and are going to win. I'm bringing this up because Andrew Luck at Indianapolis, and I'm getting plenty of questions about Andrew Luck to throw by Fabiano today. The Cardinals play at Indianapolis in week two of the season. Andrew Luck has yet to be on the field yet this season here in training camp. And their starting center is now out. And it doesn't sound like that Andrew Luck is going to be ready to start the season. And it's sounding more and more out of Indianapolis as though the Cardinals are not going to have to face Andrew Luck in week number two. This goes back to last week where Ezekiel Elliott and his suspension, while it's under appeal now, that the Cardinals would not have to face Ezekiel Elliott when the Dallas Cowboys come rolling into town. Now, the Cardinals this week, they go to Atlanta, and it's the dress rehearsal, and Carson Palmer said after the game the other night that he's excited for this week because it's all live, game planning, everything is real this week. And they'll go down to Atlanta and they'll play a team that finished runner-up in the Super Bowl, and they have their brand new facility and all that stuff. So this Saturday's game is actually a little bit more interesting to me. And so there's some things around the Cardinals today. Yesterday I didn't really, because we had so much fun with the eclipse. We had so much fun with the eclipse. And we're going to have fun with another news story here in a second. But I didn't get into yesterday with Blaine Gabbert. So I have a great deal of respect for Dave Pasch. Dave Pasch does the play-by-play for the Cardinals and is very, very good at what he does. Dave and Ron Wolfley, I think, work very, very well together. I don't think that there is any agenda from the announcers here. When you hear announcers across the league, in any sport, I should say, and they're just paid to be housemen and housewomen and say that everything is great when the team is awful. That's not good, in my opinion. I don't need guys cheering when the team is 1-12. I don't need it. It's just phony. It's fake. It's not worth it. I'm listening the other night, or watching the other night, rather, and Dave and Ron both start going into this long conversation about how Blaine Gabbert could be the quarterback of the future for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I don't think it's just two gentlemen sitting around a bar. I don't think it's just two guys that are hanging out and are just throwing this out there randomly. They have their meetings with the coaching staff. They are paid to give us things that we don't know. As Adam Archuleta told me last week on the show, and is very smart, and we're putting in the football show this week, if it's something that somebody can Google to find out information, then he's not doing his job. That is very smart. So as I'm watching the other night, I'm like, Blaine Gabbert, okay. Do you guys remember when Brian Hoyer was here? Remember the people that were just crushing Brian Hoyer? Brian Hoyer has this reputation around the league as someone with a good arm, a good head on his shoulders, good, smart quarterback who's just been in bad spots, bad places, bad times. Blaine Gabbert, it seems to me, has got some of that same thing going for him. Doesn't mean you're going to go win Super Bowls with Brian Hoyer. Don't get me wrong here. But he is more than serviceable. Blaine Gabbert, if the Cardinals are saying this is going to be our bridge quarterback from when Carson Palmer leaves, because I think we've all seen enough of Drew Stanton to understand that Drew Stanton has a place in the NFL. Drew Stanton has a place to come in a game where it's second quarter, quarterback is down, grabbing his knee, grabbing his shoulder, and Drew Stanton is there to try to manage the game and lead the team to the victory. But can he do it for 10 straight weeks? The answer is probably not at this point in his career. Just me looking at the situation. Blaine Gabbert is being pushed out there by the announcers who are with the team. You can make your own eyeball judgment and say, Brad, I don't think Blaine Gabbert can play dead. Or, Brad, I think Blaine Gabbert's pretty darn good. And Blaine Gabbert's probably a better way to go for this organization. If we're just looking ahead at where the Cardinals are, well, going through this worthless time of the year, in my opinion, a year from now, we don't know if Larry Fitzgerald's going to be here. And the way the receiving core has gone, what has long been a position of strength, has suddenly started to drop and dwindle. Why is that? Because they completely, totally missed on Michael Floyd. He was a bust. No other way to put it. Let's not sugarcoat it. So when you burn a first-round pick on a guy who doesn't do anything for you, it sets you back at that position. Same thing when Matt Leinart came here. We all saw what happened after Kurt left. There was nobody behind him, and the team was just atrocious. So if you're looking at the Cardinals in their depth chart right now and thinking ahead to next year, and all of you that are all wound up about, well, they can go get Sam Darnold. They can go pick the quarterback off Baker Mayfield. Pick the quarterback off the board. Maybe you're better off with Blaine Gabbert being that bridge quarterback if Carson Palmer isn't going to come back next year. I myself, sitting here in August, would absolutely unequivocally be stunned if next August Bruce Arians is the coach, Carson Palmer is the quarterback, and Larry Fitzgerald is at wide receiver. That's just me. If one of them left, wouldn't surprise me a bit. All three of them left, that would be a little bit eyebrow-raising to me. But I think there is something to all three of them not being here. You have to plan that out. Unless you're Steve Keim and you just feel that confident about it. But even in Steve's case, has he missed on some guys? Sure he has. All GMs miss on guys, and you have to move on once you do miss on them. I'd say right now, if you look at the Chandler Jones, Jonathan Cooper trade, Cardinals probably did pretty well on that one. They did pretty well on that. So maybe you have to trust that you look at Blaine Gabbert. It's not just Bruce Arians. Tom Moore's got to be put in this equation too. Tom Moore's been around longer than, you know, the eclipse yesterday, it felt like. And so maybe using Blaine Gabbert as that bridge or something beyond that, maybe it is just the change of scenery. Maybe it is having a running back to turn around and hand the ball off to. Those of you that don't like the team, you're laughing at this conversation right now. I get that. Those of you that are invested in the team, you might want to turn your head to the side and say, Brad, you're full of it. Or, you know what, I actually see your point on this one. Next year with a first-round pick, you're going to say, well, we just have to go get a quarterback? Maybe not. Maybe you should be looking at your wide receiver spot. Maybe you should. So there's that. Look, the big story is Trump. Trump's in town today. Trump is in town. He's staying at the Monte Lucida. It's a nice place. Got some goofy people that are working there at times. But, you know, it's the Monte Lucida. And having Trump roll in, I was going to go tonight, And then my better half got into my head and said, what are you, nuts? You're going to head down there and you want to be part of that chaos? You know, in one sense, I really do. On the other, and it's nothing with Trump. It's I like to people watch. I like to go cover stories. The guy is the story. I don't care what comes out of his mouth. In my business, I don't care. I have to go down there and be objective and sit with people or walk up to people and say, so why would you fly all the way from Florida and stand around out here to go into this rally tonight? Or why would you drive over from California for this rally tonight? And it's no different than the Raiders fans following around. It's no different. Sports is the same deal.
Per a local news channel.
Yeah?
There were people, Brad, out this morning at 4:30 in the morning waiting for tonight's 7 o'clock Trump appearance.
You sound surprised by that. I'm not surprised by that.
Go stand outside in downtown Phoenix
today,
for 45 minutes in the sun. These people are going to be there all through the morning, all through the heat of the day,
yeah,
until 7 o'clock.
But it's a president. It is a president. Whether you like a president or not, like, imagine being in the room tonight if your president stands up there and says, I am pardoning Joe Arpaio. Because you know that's going to be addressed tonight.
Of course it is.
You know that's going to be addressed. And you also know
And that speculation has been going on since he announced he was coming out here.
Right.
So that
in itself would be a historical moment. Okay? I'm not going to throw the show into politics. It's just from a broadcast standpoint and just having an interest in our community. If I didn't have to do a show today, if I didn't have other points of business to do today, I might have gone down there with a jug of water and a lawn chair and just hung out today if I were a fan. You know?
Whatever the president says about Arpaio is going to fan the flames one way or the other.
Oh, sure it is. Sure it is.
And he is going to say something. I mean, he has to.
And you're also in the state of John McCain. You're also in the state where the newspaper endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
Rod, I mean,
yep.
So the newspaper's against him from his view. The whole fake news stuff is against him. Building the wall on the border, he's got to address that tonight because I don't know, last time I checked, we're along the border. So all that stuff is really interesting to me of what he's going to go through tonight.
And the Diamondback game should be ending right about the time Trump makes his appearance.
It was a good game last night. Did you watch?
It was.
I'm watching A.J. Pollock finally do something, and I'm thinking, is this going to be the game where the Diamondbacks are able to look back and say, our season finally turned on this play? Is this where it's all going to turn around? Because there was a play at home plate, a bang-bang play at the plate where a Met runner was thrown out. Game shouldn't have even gotten extra innings. And then A.J. Pollock, who's done nothing in the last month, comes up in a huge spot. And a great two-run jack there by A.J. Pollock last night. That's what you like to see from our friends over at Fox Sports Arizona. Then my guy, Fernando Rodney, or Eric's guy, Fernando Rodney, came in, and he gave up a home run and made it 3-2. Rodney's your guy, right? He's your guy?
Sure.
Like, Archie comes in and gets the stuff done.
Yeah.
Rodney comes in, I'm thinking, this better not be Dodgers part two.
It's entertaining. I mean, and even when Rodney saves games, like, it'll be a one-run game. He'll come out and he'll walk the leadoff guy, and everyone's like, oh.
All right, we have a lot of college football to get to on the other side. Fabiano in about 15 minutes from the mailbag and much, much more. On a Tuesday, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show tonight following Diamondbacks and Mets on Fox Sports Arizona. Thanks for being with us. All right, so Arizona State and Arizona are getting ready for their openers here in college football right around the corner. U of A's got NAU. ASU has New Mexico State. I saw on Twitter this morning that Phil Bennett, the defensive coordinator for ASU, has decided to give the defense a nickname. The nickname is going to be the Desert Dogs, D-A-W-G-S. Nicknames, for me, don't work when your defense finished, I don't know, were they dead last? They were next to last. They were really bad. They were 120th last year. And this is not hometown sportscaster guy saying, go Devils, pitchfork, you know, all that nonsense. No, that's not happening. You don't need nicknames and shiny new stadiums to convince people to come watch your product. Winning does that. And winning impressively does that. So I'm completely, totally unimpressed with the size of the video board. Don't care. Completely, totally unimpressed with nicknames. Don't care. Please go out and put out a product that is going to generate victories. 8 or 9 of them this year. And right now, I don't see it. I don't see how you can take... Todd Graham has been a defensive guy his whole coaching career. Todd Graham has had to hand over, and I say had to because basically he was told to, get rid of your coaching the defense on the sideline and go be the head coach. That doesn't work usually. So I'm not expecting great stuff, and I don't care what they do against New Mexico State. I really don't even care about San Diego State, although I think the Aztecs are pretty good. ASU has their Pac-12 opener with Oregon. So Oregon's brought in a new head coach, brought him all the way cross country. They went out of conference, had people like, what is Oregon doing? What is Oregon thinking? So Oregon's kicked off one of their best players. Darren Carrington gets popped for DUI, gone, not playing this year. Feels as though you're catching the Ducks at a really good time. But they're trying to change the culture up there. And Oregon is one of those schools that has come into Arizona. was with some big cigar alums the other day at the ASU kickoff luncheon, and they're just bitching and moaning about how ASU hasn't closed the borders and they don't keep all the high school kids here. And guys, that's been the story. They'll do a very good job for a certain period of time, and then kids start leaving. Was it Dominic Hampton, the kid over at Centennial, had two pick sixes the other night? He's going to Washington. How's that happen? How does that happen? So Oregon's trying to change the culture, and it's the little things that can change a culture. It's a kid who's a walk-on, who's trying to bust his butt to get a scholarship. Check this bit of video out from the University of Oregon football team yesterday.
This is Hawaii right here, baby. Hold on, hold on.
Hi, my name is Mom. All your hard work and dedication and devotion has not gone unnoticed. So congratulations. You have been offered a full scholarship. Congratulations.
If you have a dream, never give up. Always chasing. If you have a goal, just set your eyes to that and just never give up.
Okay, so that's from Willie Taggart's team. And Willie Taggart is going to bring Oregon down here. And it is little things like giving a kid a scholarship like that. Todd Graham does the same thing, okay? All coaches go about it the same way. Oregon has had some issues up there. One of their assistant coaches was arrested back right before letter of intent day for a DUI, reckless endangerment, and reckless driving. I'm not going to sit here and pretend this doesn't happen at other places, but things did get off to a bit of a rough start with Willie Taggart. I think if you're Todd Graham and you've got Oregon as a team that you're going to face very early in the season, and that's a game that's here, by the way, you're going to have people that if they're sitting there at 1-2, 1-3 at the end of September, I don't know if Todd Graham makes it through October. Look, if Ray Anderson is going to make a change, and I have to address this now because Ray has been very, very vocal and straightforward, as has the president of the university, that what they've seen out of the football team on the field lately has not been impressive. So any of you that are in Todd's corner, I'm in the middle of the field. I'm not sitting over here saying fire the guy, and I'm not sitting over here saying, boy, he's doing a great job, because he's not. Okay? But everything is pointing towards a coaching change. Everything. And so if you're Ray Anderson and you're Michael Crow and you're sitting here at the end of September and you're 1-3 or 2-2 and not impressive in your 2-2, then I think you're better off pulling the ripcord early on this deal and starting to make the changes that need to be made. This is a premier job with the stadium now in place. It feels like, from a community standpoint, there needs to be a reset button pushed. Maybe it's too much Todd Graham being out there being a salesman. He's really built the stadium on the backs of his shoulders in his first few years that are here. It's not a criticism of him. That's just a fact. ASU had nobody else. Nobody's been better at going out and rallying the troops, at least the first 3-4 years, than Todd Graham. And I think sometimes you can get your eye off of coaching and being out doing other things within the community. It happened in Notre Dame last year. This is last week. Brian Kelly said the same thing, that he was an absentee coach last year. Can't have that.
This would be a great year, Brad, for ASU not to play New Mexico State and San Diego State to start the year if you're Todd Graham. This is the year where you want to play a Texas A&M. You want to play a Notre Dame.
I agree. You want
to make a splash. You want to play a big marquee feature game if you're a coach on the hot seat. And if you get that win, that momentum could carry maybe a little bit into the season. But, okay, they open a week from Thursday against New Mexico State. Everyone in the entire state of Arizona is expecting ASU
to
kill New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Okay. Say they beat them 44-3. Great. Then you're playing San Diego State.
Like, say you beat them 44-21.
And that's a distinct possibility. Then the next week is San Diego State, a sneaky good Mountain West team.
8 p.m. kickoff.
Again, on the surface, game ASU should win. Home game, playing a non-Power 5 school, but just telling you, the Aztecs are not bad. They're not New Mexico State.
Well, let's say you win at 27-23. I know we got a break for Fabiano, so we'll continue this later. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Michael Fabiano on the other side. Time now to talk fantasy football as we do every Tuesday. Senior fantasy analyst for NFL.com and NFL Network, member of the Fantasy Sports Writers Association Hall of Fame. I gave him the very fancy title rather than just saying he's an HOFer. Because he is an HOFer, and that's a compliment. Here's Michael Fabiano. How are you?
Last week I was almost a dead HOFer.
We had Michael.
I was waiting to find out when I was going to be on Howard Stern for that whole debacle.
Michael died last week. He did one. He was like, so Brad. Dude, we got rid of Michael. It was great.
So I had like cold, which I'm still kind of fighting off. I had just gotten done traveling, so you know how all that goes, being on a plane.
Yeah.
Was talking for an hour, came downstairs, and then got the call from Eric. So I was pretty well toasted at that point, hoping that nothing happened. And, of course, it did.
Brad, I have to go. Ooh. So
it was that actually was the first time in, like, 20 years of doing this that it ever happened. So you actually experienced the first for me, pal.
I gagged on the air one night when I was doing a local TV spot. That was not fun. My voice seized up, so And that, you know, at least you weren't on the NFL Network doing it because, no offense, but it's a little bigger than this. So you would have been played over and over and over. You might have made Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah, no question.
So,
no question.
All right, so I got to run some things by you, and then I'll get to the mailbag. Michael, we have not seen Andrew Luck. We have not seen Cam Newton so far here. It's August, I get it. But from a fantasy standpoint, and you're looking at these two guys, is there reason to be concerned? I'm starting to get questions in the mailbag about, let's start first with Andrew Luck.
Oh, there's certainly reason to be concerned with Andrew Luck because we don't know if he's going to be under center in week one. We don't know if he's going to go on the PUP list. We don't know if he's going to miss one game, two games, three games. No one knows. So at this point, Andrew Luck is dropping in drafts. In fact, I was in a PPR IDP draft last night with a bunch of my fantasy industry pals, and Luck was an 11th round pick. Now, that's a little inflated because you're also drafting individual defensive players, but it goes to show you that in the fantasy community, Andrew Luck is being seen as a massive risk. Now, as for Cam Newton, I don't think he is in danger of missing week one. So it's a little bit easier to draft Cam. With that being said, he's coming off of, let's say, subpar season for Cam Newton standards. Mm-hmm. But he's a player that, if you follow the philosophy of waiting on a quarterback, that you can target somewhere in the 8th to 10th round.
One last deep dive on Andrew Luck. Is there a bigger player question mark in football from a fantasy standpoint right now than Andrew Luck?
In terms of
across the whole
injuries?
League, across the whole league, he's got to be number one, right?
He's got a shoulder injury and he throws the football.
Yes.
I mean, he is clearly at the top of the list, if not one of the three biggest risk reward players in fantasy football right now. And this is a guy who's been a fantasy star ever since he's come into the league. So it's a big loss. He would have been ranked fourth at quarterback position for me behind Rodgers, Brady, and Breeze. At this point right now, I have him ranked at 7. And every single day that goes by, I have to consider dropping him lower and lower and lower.
All right. Give me a I'm getting questions about Trevor Siemian in Denver. Thumbnail on that one.
You would think Siemian will be better, but not a draftable asset. The biggest value with Siemian is in the value of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. And I do believe that the return of Mike McCoy will help the value of both of those players. Siemian has a full season under his belt as a starter, so that's good news. I just don't see him as more than a matchup-based starter, maybe a DFS option against a favorable matchup. But I do prefer him over Paxton Lynch when it comes to the rest of the offensive options in Denver, C.J. Anderson, D.T., Emmanuel Sanders.
Talking with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network, NFL.com, with Brad Sussmat. Let's go to the mailbag. Hey, Fabs, with so many mouths to feed with Steelers, 14-team PPR league, would you take Julio Jones over Antonio Brown?
No. Antonio Brown has been in the same offense and been putting up the same numbers for several seasons. I mean, over the last 3 years, he's been the best wide receiver in fantasy football. Unless you believe in your heart Julio Jones will have a better season than AB, I would not take him. Antonio Brown's the pick there.
12-team PPR league. Which running back do you take, Riddick or Abdullah?
Abdullah. Riddick certainly has more value in a PPR league, but In terms of volume, I believe Abdullah, as long as he avoids injuries, which has been the big snafu with him in his short NFL career, unless he gets hurt, this guy is going to lead that backfield in touches.
For Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, would you trade LeGarrette Blount for Jarvis Landry from the mailbag?
It really depends on what your needs are, but on the surface, I do like that trade. There's reports right now that LeGarrette Blount has not performed well in camp. Let's just put it that way. And that Wendell Smallwood could end up taking his job. That's something that fantasy owners have to really watch, because Blount was a guy who had 18 rushing touchdowns and was a top 10 fantasy running back last season. So at this point, I would prefer Landry over Blount.
10-man half PPR, drafting Gronk in second, Ty Montgomery in fifth. What do you think?
That's about right. Gronkowski's not worth a first-round pick. He's certainly worth a second-round pick. And Ty Montgomery, a guy who is a converted wide receiver, pass catcher, and in an offense where defenses can't stack the box or Aaron Rodgers will carve them up, he is well worth a fifth-round pick. I could see him going as early as the third or fourth round in a PPR league.
Fabs, hearing about Shady McCoy back to the Eagles, what do you make of this?
I don't think so. If that happened, I think every Buffalo Bills fan would boycott, and there would be no one in the stands at home games for the Bills. I don't see it. I do think there's a small cause for concern with McCoy based on the fact that the Bills have no one now. You've got Jordan Matthews and a rookie in Zay Jones, Charles Clay, and not much else. That offense is now going to have to compete against stack box week in and week out unless Tyrod Taylor and company can prove that they can be effective in the passing game. So I still have McCoy as a top five fantasy running back, but I don't see him going back to Philadelphia.
A couple more questions from Michael Fabiano. We'll let him go. It's great to have the Hall of Famer with the NFL Network and NFL.com with us each and every week. Have Michael make sense of the New England backfield from a draft standpoint.
You know, if you asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would tell you I was high on Mike Gillisley. Averaged almost 6 yards a carry last year, 8 rushing touchdowns behind LeSean McCoy, a guy who has shown that he can be a playmaker. But you can't get atop the depth chart on a Bill Belichick team when you're on the sidelines with a hamstring. And that's exactly where Gillisley has been. I still have him ranked as the highest Patriot running back, but I've dropped him down into my 21 to 25 range at the position. And if you draft him, he's probably not worth more than a seventh round pick at this point. That being said, trying to predict what Bill Belichick does is nearly impossible. So don't be afraid to take a flyer on Rex Burkhead in the late rounds, because over the last game, he looked really good. 50 yards receiving, a touchdown, and he was featured in the offense. But if I could predict correctly what Bill Belichick is going to do with his backfield, I'm going to start playing the lottery, okay, because I might be a big winner in that. So draft Gillisley again. He's a top 70, top 80 pick. Take a chance on Burkhead late. Maybe he's the guy who ends up being the starter to begin the season, because, again, Gillisley has been injured, and you just can't miss time like this. If he doesn't play in the third preseason game, I almost guarantee you he's going to be second or third on the depth chart at best.
Better pick PPR, Devontae Parker or Jamison Crowder?
Crowder, no question about it. Although I do like Parker with Jay Cutler in Miami. Cutler likes those big wide receivers who can go downfield, and Parker is just that. But Crowder is an underrated asset. He had a very solid season last year, just missed 100 targets in the Redskins passing game, and I do believe that he will have a very solid season, and he certainly has more value in PPR leagues. So Terrell Pryor would be one in Washington's wide receiver list, and then you've got Crowder there at number two, a very underrated player.
Before you get out here, what are you looking for this weekend out of the games? Who are some players that you want to take a closer look at and see where they're moving up, moving down?
Oh, gosh, there's a ton. Marcus Mariota, who I love, who looked good in the last preseason game. I want to see if he continues to put up good numbers, because remember, this is the dress rehearsal for the regular season.
Right.
I want to look at what Jameis Winston does for the Buccaneers. He is a massive breakout candidate. I want to see a lot of the rookie running backs. Leonard Fournette doesn't look like he's going to play again. That's a little bit of a cause for concern because of the foot. I want to see what Dalvin Cook does, because he's been very strong. Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey. I want to continue to see if C.J. Anderson is going to be the guy in Denver, which I do believe he will be. I want to see if Todd Gurley shows any flashes, because he's a major risk-reward player this season. I also want to see what the Colts' offense is going to look like without Andrew Luck, because right now you're looking at Scott Tolzien, and that's going to hurt the value of T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief and Jack Doyle and Frank Gore. I could go on and on for another 5 or 10 minutes. There's so much that we're going to be able to learn as fantasy owners from watching the third week of the preseason, because, like I said, this is the regular season dress rehearsal, and this is where you're going to see guys playing in positions where they're going to be when the regular season starts in September.
Stay well. Appreciate the time, as always. Thanks.
All right, pal. Take care.
Good to talk to Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer there at the NFL Network, NFL Senior Fantasy Analyst, NFL.com. You can check out his content, of course, on the NFL Network. Good having the partnership with Michael. So the Phoenix Suns yesterday had some shade thrown their way by the Atlanta Hawks. I got to bring you that. And a few other things on my mind, too, on this Tuesday show. If you're just jumping on board with us, you're finding us for the first time. We're here every Monday through Friday, every day at 10 a.m. We do our thing for an hour, hour and a half, you know, as long as we feel like going. And then we put it around on a podcast so you can take off our website, sports360az.com. We are Arizona-centric, but as you just heard from Michael, we do national stuff, too, during the regular season. Peter King is with us on Tuesdays. Pedro Gomez joins us every other week from ESPN, their baseball analyst, and much, much more. We do just a little bit of everything here in Arizona, pro, college, high school, college, pro. It's not filtered. I was doing the TV thing. I was doing the radio thing, and I just jumped into this 6 years ago. I own this. We are self-funded. So the people you're about to see, our sponsors, please support them. Without their support, we're not doing this. Back with more after this time out. So a couple other things before we get out of here, and one of them has to do with the Suns. So Eric told me about this, and I briefly saw this yesterday. Is this something Espo sent over to you?
Oh, no. This was a huge thing on social media yesterday.
I missed this, other than something with the Hawks making fun of the Suns on Eclipse Day.
Yep.
So walk me through this one.
Just go ahead and just throw it up there and just go ahead and read the tweets.
I can't see it.
Okay, I'll read it. Yeah. In honor of the sun being blocked today, here are our best blocks against the @Suns over the past years.
Oh.
And it's about 2.5 minutes of Alex Len and, let's see, TJ Warren.
Well, come on. This team won 15, 18 games.
All getting their shots blocked.
How good are the Hawks?
I just think it's just, this is what you get in the dead of the NBA season. How can we generate a bunch of buzz on social? Well, let's see. There's an eclipse, and the Suns have been awful. Okay, let's poke the bear a little bit.
So. No. This is called owner walks down the hall and says, why are we paying these people in August? And these people are like, we got to make sure we look busy, right?
Yeah.
So is this amusing, showing a bunch of bad Suns players getting shots blocked? Or not even, I shouldn't say that about TJ Warren. This is nothing to me. It's just filling time for the Atlanta Hawks in August. You're right. But it's making fun of the Suns.
That's okay.
If the Suns were like 60-win team, that'd have more juice to it. The Suns aren't good. Yeah, it's like making fun of Brooklyn.
But they have this pro franchise, and they took advantage of what everyone in the world, definitely in America, was talking about yesterday.
Yes,
and they spun it and they got a little love off it. It's okay.
Did you like it or no?
I chuckled.
Yeah,
I didn't think they needed to do a 2.5 minute video or however many highlights there were in that, but I got the idea after about 45 seconds.
Did you hear about our guy Christian Kirk?
I did not.
Our guy Christian Kirk, AP All American first team. We're not surprised by this at all.
We're also not surprised he's probably not going to be back for a senior season.
That would be a shocker, right?
Because I haven't asked him, but I'm fairly certain he's going to be on track to graduate in 3 years. And if he's got the degree and he's going to be a first-round pick, especially the latter, why are you even bothering coming back?
And if his coach leaves, which I believe there's going to be a change there in my opinion.
And I can't see A&M winning more than 6-7 games max this year, so...
Okay, so they have Sam Darnold as their All-American first-team player. I'm going to go down the list here of players within the Pac-12 that ASU and U of A are going to face this year that made the first-team All-American squad. So Sam Darnold, both ASU and U of A are going to face Sam Darnold, the quarterback at USC.
And a quick note, Darren Carrington transferred to Utah. You mentioned him earlier in the show, and he is eligible to play. So the former
the former
Oregon wide receiver is
that was
now
kicked off.
That is now at Utah and is eligible.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Does that work?
I don't know.
Because he was kicked off in March.
Because you said that, and I was like, I think I saw something. He's playing at a Pac-12 school. So my friend Google told me that he transferred, and he is going
There's got to be a line there.
Kyle Whittingham's offense this year.
There's got to be a line there. I would like to see that on the site, actually.
I mean, is he a grad transfer, fifth-year eligible player?
Fifth-year eligible, but
could be.
But Pac-12 school to Pac-12 school usually doesn't happen. Right? There's usually a penalty of 1 year where you can't transfer within the conference.
I would think Oregon would have to sign off on him going there, even though they kicked him off the team. But I don't know. Anyway, continue with
this. Does Oregon play Utah?
I don't know.
That would be a good game. See, we don't have all the answers here, and we don't script this. We just throw it out. Both Arizona. Well, I know Arizona State plays Washington State. Cody O'Connell, the guard at Washington State, made first-team All-American. See, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has Tulsa next week on a Thursday night. I'm really interested in that game. I think they could get beat there.
I don't.
Your guy, Reese Davis, yesterday.
You think Tulsa's going to win in Stillwater?
It could be a shocker. Your guy, Reese Davis, last night, your man said that TCU is the surprise team of the year.
Maybe.
Your guy.
Maybe.
You're always pushing Reese Davis on me, I think.
I do like Reese Davis.
Let's see. Azeem Victor, linebacker, Washington, first team. The punter at Utah, first team. So there's a few that we're going to see roll through here. And
I'm more interested in the quarterbacks the ASU are playing, because in the Pac-12, if you don't have a good quarterback, you really don't have much of a chance. And well, there are quite a few pretty good quarterbacks in the Pac-12 this year.
Okay. So just answer the question. Does ASU have a quarterback?
Yeah, they have lots of quarterbacks.
Lots of quarterbacks, right. Does U of A have a quarterback?
Well, Todd Graham said, of right now, Manny Wilkins is the starter until someone unseeds him. Read between the lines. We've been waiting since the spring for Blake Barnett to unseat him, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yes, but it will.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm calling that one.
All right.
Who has a better quarterback situation right now, U of A or ASU?
That's a great question. From what I'm hearing down in Tucson, U of A.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It just sounds Brandon Dawkins is our guy. That's what we're going to do, and this is how we're moving
He's
forward.
He's had a very good camp.
Versus the, well, we're just not quite sure.
It's not Manny Wilkins isn't a bad quarterback. He's just a quarterback. He's a good quarterback in a great quarterback league.
Does he lead you to 9 wins?
No.
Does Blake Barnett lead you to 9 wins?
No.
Then Todd's fired. Are you expecting Todd back here next year?
No.
Yeah, me either. Does he coach the U of A game? I'm calling he doesn't coach the U of A game. Which I've had some people raise their eyebrows. And by that I mean he could coach it, but he's going to know that he's gone. I'm saying they're going to remove him. I'm calling it right now. So it's just me. What do I know? Who's told me anything? You just have to look at the situation over there and look at the schedule. And you don't improve from 120th defensively or whatever the number was to like 30th. You don't. It doesn't happen. They're still going to be atrocious back there. And you can say all you want. Well, Tayshaun Smallwood, boy, he's so good. And, you know, JoJo Wicker's going to. You can say that. I've been hearing that. It's two guys. So we have baseball tonight to watch. We have Trump in town tonight to watch. That's about it. It's a pretty good day in front of us. Thanks for being with us. Our television show is tonight. You've got to watch that. It follows the Diamondbacks and Mets over on Fox Sports Arizona. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. He is the Iron Man. Eric Sorensen is our senior executive vice president of nothing or everything, depending on the day and the mood that I'm in. Jordy Hamm and Haley Stasiak, they help out as well in this show. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Without our sponsors, we don't do this. So please support them as they support us. Have yourself a great day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.